لا يكلف الله نفسا الا وسعها. All our life we are taught to fear the Quran. Don't go listen to the Quran, it will hypnotize you. It will change you. You'll become a fundo. You'll become different. You'll become a misfit. We fear the Quran. We fear religious people. We fear the laws of Allah. We don't want to give up. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to change. Allah says, why are you so worried? This is like a mother reassuring the child that if you're hurt, come and show me. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. This is so mind-boggling that there's no way of explaining it. This is Allah's love. He will never burden any soul beyond its capacity. Allah knows best the gifts He gave to each person. Allah knows best the circumstances that each person lives in. And Allah knows best the problems that each person's engulfed in. For example, Allah gives different degrees of intelligence to different people. A simple person or a mentally handicapped person will have no hisab, because Allah did not grant him the brains wherewith to fathom the circumstances of his life. And that's fair, and that's logical, and that's just. But a person who is granted brilliance by Allah will be asked about how much of that brilliance he used in understanding the laws of Allah. The sad truth of today's world is that the most brilliant elites, the most brilliant intellectuals are people who are illiterates regarding the Quran. Think of the most highly educated person you've ever met in your life and then wonder, I wonder, did he ever read the Quran? Maybe a translation? But have they ever studied the Quran? Have they ever studied the tafsir? Have they ever accorded to the Quran the importance they accorded to their worldly education? Very few. Intelligence is something we will be asked about. Then, our health. Many of us have health, and we only value our health when it's taken away from us. But in the time that we are healthy and we are energetic, what are we doing? What are our pursuits? What's our time management all about? We let ourselves be bogged down by mundane, worldly, trivial matters. Keeping the house clean becomes an obsession. Picking up the kids from school, dropping them at school becomes the be-all and the end-all of our existence, and that's all it's about. And suddenly you wake up and you're 60 and it's too late. Or you're 70 and it's too late. And then you weep. If you've talked to older people, you will be aware that the common feeling that most of them share is a feeling of futility. My God, I wasted so much time. And I wasted so much money. And I wasted so much that Allah gave me. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha works both ways. Allah will ask us about everything He gave us because only He knows our circumstances. Sometimes we want to obey Allah but no one's letting us. Sometimes we want to get up for tahajjud but our husband doesn't allow it. Sometimes we want to give up interest but it's not possible in our situation. So in that case, read Ghufranak because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The important thing to remember is what counts is intention and effort. Both go side by side. For example, if I wake up in the morning and read Rabbi Zidni Ilma and then go back to sleep again and miss the Quran class, that's not going to help me. If I say, well, I really wanted to get up but I was feeling so tired and so sleepy, I thought I'll sleep a little. No. Intention alone will not suffice. Dreams alone will not suffice. That one day I'll do this and one day I'll do that. Someday I'll give everything up for Islam. No. Those are dreams. And dreams will not suffice. You need intention and you need effort. And every soul, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Every soul will be rewarded for what it earned. Now this is very important. This means that every human being will be rewarded for their individual effort and intention. And that's it. Now what about Sadqa-e Jariya? Sadqa-e Jariya also comes into existence when you put in intention and effort. For example, a couple have two children they never teach those children about Islam. They discourage them from studying the Quran. They discourage the daughters from covering. They discourage the boys from keeping a beard. They discourage the children from finding out about Islam. They give preference to worldly studies. Suppose those children grow up and turn towards Islam themselves. Do you really think it's fair that the parents should be rewarded? When the parents were always hindrances rather than props in the path of their struggle towards Allah? No. Allah is just. He will reward the ones who work for it, the teachers who help those children, the inspiration that they found in the shape of whoever it was that inspired them. Laha ma kasabat. Our attitude is, okay, I'll make my kid do hifz, then my kid will take me to Jannah. Sorry, it's not as easy as that. Your child can be the means of your entering Jannah when you've worked on your child, taught them about Islam, encouraged them along this path, put in time, put in effort, and dua. All three things will be weighed. If the mother is doing nothing for teaching her children about Islam, but she's making dua upon dua, do you think that should be enough? No. Dua is just words. And Allah says about dua in the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. Towards him ascends the pure word, but the pure deeds elevated. Dua has to be accompanied by obedience and good deeds. I pray all day, Allah, I'd love to give a sadqah, take a sadqah from me. When the time for sadqah comes, I say, no, I don't have enough to give. How can I give this amount? That's not effective. That was just lies. Words and deeds. Dua, intention and effort. Laha ma kasabat. For each soul shall be what it earned. Wa alayha maktasabat. Now, alayha maktasabat is frightening. What's the difference between kasaba and iktasaba? Kasaba is that which you earn. Whether you give to others or you earn for yourself. Okay? Like for example, a man earns wealth, so he gives to his wife, he gives to his children, he gives to his parents. Iktasaba is that which you earn only for yourself. That's the difference, and there's a subtle point here that needs to be understood. Kasaba is that which you earn, whether you give to others or not. And iktasaba is that which you earn only for yourself. So our sins are something which will harm only us. We can give good deeds to others. We can do isale sawab, like many times parents die and the children are doing good deeds and then praying that Allah grant the reward of these good deeds to our parents. And Allah will do so, inshallah. But there is no concept of isale guna. Like you can't lie and then say, Allah give this sin for this lie to my brother. Alayha maktasabat, no. Every person bears his burden alone. I can share my good deeds with others, but I can't share my sins with anyone. Alayha maktasabat. Now sometimes it happens that parents spend their lives trying to convince their children and bring them towards Islam, but the children will not listen. So in such a case, the parents will not be punished. Why should they be punished when they tried so hard? When will the parents be punished for the sins of the children? When the parents never bothered. When the parents never bothered to teach their children and suddenly the children are teenagers and now they're out of your hands and it's too late. That's when the parents will also be held accountable. Otherwise, each soul bears the burden of their sins alone. What is the dua of the Ummah? Surah Al-Baqarah was about the Ummah. Rabbana, O our Rabb, la tu'akhizna. Do not seize us, do not punish us. In nasina, if we forget. Think of all the times that we forget. Every day we arise with new determination, with a new resolve. No, never again, never again, and then we forget. And we want to kick ourselves later on, but it's too late. La tu'akhizna in nasina, do not punish us if we forget. Aw akhta'na, or we make a mistake. We make a mistake can have two implications. One can be that, for example, you deliberately sin. That's a deliberate mistake. And the second can be where you were planning to do something good and instead you make a mistake. You do something wrong instead. For example, you open your mouth to praise someone or you open your mouth to say something nice And instead of saying something nice, you say something totally opposite or totally different to what you had intended. So you made a mistake. Don't punish us if we forget or we make a mistake. رَبَّنَا آرَبْ وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا. Do not place on us a burden. كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. As you placed on those before us. Islam is the easiest of all the religions given to mankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, just to give you a little example of what this verse means. The Jews, if they committed a murder, there was no concept of diya, blood money or forgiveness. The murderer had to be killed. Qisas. They were not allowed spoils of war. There were many other things which I don't have time to go into. So this was a religious responsibility laid upon them by Allah. Then we find they had self-imposed restrictions that they placed upon themselves, things that they'd invented in deen. So here we pray to Allah, لا تحمل علينا إسرًا. Don't place on us such a problem, such a calamity, as you placed on those before us. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. O Arab, do not burden us, do not impose on us that which we do not have the strength to bear. Very important dua, very sensitive, beautiful dua. Think, you see there are people, they're in the prime of health. Everything's going their way and suddenly a terrible accident. Suddenly out of the blue, this unforeseen calamity, maybe a financial loss, maybe the loss of a child, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe the loss of their health. Sudden accidents cripple people. Formerly they were doing so much and now they're incapable of doing anything for themselves. So pray to Allah. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Allah, don't impose on us that which we do not have the strength to bear. وَعْفُ عَنَّا. And pardon us. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And forgive for us. عَفْوٌ is to wipe out and وَغْفِرْ is to cover. That Allah, when you forgive us, cover up for us. That it's wiped out of our record. No one ever knows about it. Just enfold us. وَرْحَمْنَا and embrace us in your mercy. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our protector. I explained one of the meanings of Mawla is the one whose help is sought, whose protection is sought, like a sanctuary, like a haven, like a mother's arms. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our protector. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Surah Al-Baqarah was about the Ummah conveying the truth to mankind. There will be people who will resist. There will be people who will hate you for it. There will be people who will actually contend against you. They will resist you. They will fight against you with their tongues or with their actions or with their words. So we say, in this battle between good and evil, in this battle between right and wrong, help us Allah. Anta Mawlana, fansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Help us against the disbelieving people. Ameen. We finish Surah Al-Baqarah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Surah Al-Baqarah, Iqra'u al-Baqarah, recite Al-Baqarah, فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً. For its adoption or reading it is a barakah, a blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرًا. Abandoning Surah Al-Baqarah or not bothering to read it is a source of regret. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ. And the followers of falsehood are not able to do it. They hate Surah Al-Baqarah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, read the Quran, for it will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for its companions. Read the two luminous ones, Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, for they will come on the day of judgment as if they are two clouds shading their companions. What did we learn from Surah Al-Baqarah? We learned a lot, but the most important thing that we should have learned is the power or the concept of obedience. When Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma finished Surah Al-Baqarah, he actually slaughtered 7 camels. سبحان اللہ والحمد للہ ولا الہ الا اللہ واللہ اکبر. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُم بِهِ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.